What I'd like to do, members, is just have a little bit of a discussion on some of the DAS issues that we discussed over the course of this session, and kind of get your sense on some recommendations that we would be making to leadership, to Ways and Means, and kind of two areas. One is to leadership for the interim, some interim work that I, at least that I think needs to be followed up on with the Department of Administrative Services. And then the other one is any recommendations that we might want to make to the Ways and Means Committee, or the Special House Budget Committee, whichever way. I guess we're going to continue with the separate budget committees at this point. But anyway, to make recommendations to them as far as budget notes that they may want to make and that sort of thing. We had a total of about what did we decide, Jim? 7 hearings on DAS issues. 2, 4, 6, 7. Pardon?
12 meetings.
12 of them. Okay, and we discussed a lot of different things. But I wanted to get before I put together a draft. I wanted to get your input on and just kind of have an overall. And we can't do this, you know, as a group. We can't do it without doing it in a public meeting. So I thought this morning would give us a good opportunity to do that. We heard about the Smart Buy program. We heard about the fact that they don't have a strategic plan. We did that survey that we got back some mixed results on that, from the standpoint of how the customers of DAS are feeling. Sometimes they feel like DAS is very responsive, and other times they feel like DAS is not very responsive at all. And then we discussed issues around rents and leases and uniform rents and that sort of thing, maintaining. And then, of course, we passed out, which also passed the House, 2166 that dealt with the issues around rents and leases, or 2236. Pardon?
2236.
Okay. And we had a couple of other bills that we passed out as well. But those are the things that I wanted to try to kind of discuss a little bit with you all, and get your input on and feelings on. How about if we talk about assessments first, since that's probably the thing that's the freshest on our minds, or at least freshest on my mind. I'm concerned about the assessments that DAS is making and how they're making them. One of the reasons that I'm concerned about it is that there's a feeling with some of the agencies, and this came out, you'll remember, in the survey, that DAS can raise the assessments, and they have two ways of charging their customers. One is through the assessments, which is kind of a uniform type of charge, and then the other is through the rates that they charge for whatever services it is that they're providing. And I think there's even some confusion on the part of the agencies as far as what the assessments are really for and what parts of it covers. But I'm concerned that whenever DAS wants to, they can raise the assessments, or if there's a new sort of service that they think they're going to be providing, or that they need to expand something, that they can go in and make an assessment on the agency, and the agency has no choice but to pay it, and that comes directly then out of the agency's budget, which is, you know, how many of those dollars are supposed to be going for agency programs that then end up getting diverted back around to feed the bureaucracy.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
What's the statutory authority and the statutory limitation within that authority that's prescribed for those fees that DAS passes on? I know that it's, and you've looked at it, and I know that it's a broad authority, but I'm anxious about the statutory limitation of what they can use those fees for, particularly within the Ways and Means process.
And that's just it. I'm not sure that that is really well defined in statute from the standpoint of what their authority is on the assessments. And so that would be one of the things that I would suggest that the interim audits committee, joint legislative audits committee, kind of take a look at and prepare some legislation for the 07 session, is to really clarify what the assessments are for, what they can be used, what it can be used for, and on what basis DAS can then turn around and charge agencies a higher assessment. The other thing that I'm wondering is, that would it be better, and I know I kind of posed this question to Lori Warner when she on one of her visits before us, and one of the things that I'm wondering is, would it be better to move the assessments into general fund? And what I mean by that is making the areas that are assessment based, that are uniform, for one time you back out of the agency budgets that amount of money, and then that's needed for example for the 05-07 biennium. Now if we did this in 07, then of course it'd be for the 07-09 biennium. But back that out one time, and then after that, there is no more assessment charge to the agencies. And DAS would have to, the department then would have to go in and make a general fund request for those services that they're providing on a statewide basis. Those things are going to include the director's office, the budget and management office, and the control, and I believe the controller's office are the three primary areas that are, and IRMD, information resource management. The department would still be charging rates for the services. For example, Motor Pool is a rate-based service. And some of the other services that they're providing that are rate-based would continue to, and they would need to publish what their rates are going to be ahead of time, so that the agencies could then budget accordingly. The other thing is that on some of those services, should we give agencies the ability to go outside of state government and basically create a system where DAS has to bid for the business, and that would be things like your print shop and Motor Pool and some of those types of services. So let me throw it open to some questions or discussion here. Representative Brown?
How many different kinds of services do they provide beyond the printing and the automotive?
Seven divisions, aren't there, within the Department of Administrative Services?
Seven divisions?
I think there are seven.
Let me see if I can find my
total divisions. Mr. Chair, I just okay. Looking at under administration for the Department of Administrative Services, and there are various advisory committees that do a number of different kinds of things that are presently there, including to counsel with the appointed by the governor. 270.120 talks about an advisory committee. The Department of Administrative Services shall be advised by an advisory committee consisting of seven members appointed by the governor. It talks about who those people are, and then let's see, the advisory committee shall advise the department on acquisition, exchange, and disposal of real property valued at $100,000 or more. The department may request the advice of the committee involving any real property transaction. So there are various advisories, and I've just just trying to reach out and grab, these are under real estate specifically, but there are other advisories that are formed under the Department of Administrative Services. And I haven't yet found the fees structure, but the fees, I thought, were controlled within the ORSs, and that not just the fee, but also the disposition of those fees that were charged, how they would be administered and supervised. I'll continue to look, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. You'll recall, Representative Brown, we also got this sort of one page deal from sheet from Bill Fink.
Yes.
Yeah. It sort of broke down. You know, it's just a chart that very simply breaks down what the assessments and fees are. Do have an assessment attached to them. So if you follow this guy here, all of them have an assessment, and then the rest of it is made up in just the as a rate. So on a per use type of a basis.
Mr. Chair, I guess my only comment about the idea of going to sort of general fund appropriations instead of the way we do it now is that if the agency doesn't have any general fund but is all other funds, then it seems like that agency should also be paying its share of the overall services that DAS is providing. So if you just sort of took that away from being a percentage of their budget, or I guess that's how it's done now, how would they contribute toward the general fund, the overall director's office, and those other things that you were suggesting?
I think that's a very good question, but that's what I'm driving at is that the first time in the first biennium that this switch was made, mm-hmm. you would deduct whatever the assessment normally would be from the agency budget. So that creates this general fund pool of money, mm-hmm. if you will. And then after that, the department, DAS, would be responsible for coming in and making the case for the as far as the general fund basis is concerned for the generalized services that they provide to all of the agencies. And so that assessment on the agency would go away. But the first time it's created by pooling from all of the agencies. The reason why I'm suggesting that is because it gives us better control over the department itself in terms of and I think we can then be more insistent as far as performance measures and customer service and that sort of thing. While at the same time, then the agencies when they're budgeting for their dollars, they're budgeting based on their program needs, not their program needs plus their assessments to the Department of Administrative Services. And I'm just throwing the idea out on the table to see if is it something that is plausible, or is it something, or is that kind of a bad idea? Lori Warner had suggested that that she didn't think it was a very good idea when I queried her about it at one of our earlier meetings. And I'm just kind of wondering what the sense of the committee is. Is that something that is a good idea, or is it, or is it best left the way it is?
Mr.
Chair, can I address the general fund question?
Please do, Representative.
That you've thrown out here. Recognize, please, that Department of Administrative Services collects funds from all different agencies and branches and units of government for overhead under certain circumstances. Those those can be limited with, for instance, assessing the treasurer's office, which is independently set up and administered constitutionally different, as is the Secretary of State's office. So the fees for, excuse me, fees that are charged those agencies are for direct support services, including rent and overhead, those kinds of things. But for instance, the Department of Human Services that is assessed the administrative fee, those assessments are based upon all of the services that the Department of Human Services utilizes that are centrally assessed and centrally provided by the Department of Human Services. Thus, in part, those are general funds, and in part, those are federal funds, and in part, those may be other funds, being assessments of nursing home fees or those kinds of things from users. Consequently, the diversion of those, or the, not the diversion, but the reordering of those funds over to the general fund might give you, as a consequence, some difficulty with the federal funds that are received for administrative purposes that are available and can be utilized for administrative services under federal law. And I would be concerned about breaching into an area that has some long established criteria for the utilization of those funds, to convert those into the general fund and then back out for to be drawn by the office, where presently they're used as other funds. And Mr. Chair, I think the statute identifies several of the agencies. Of course, we know that there's a printing and distribution service, that there's IRMD, that there's a state or a properties management group within the department, that there's also a you've got printing and the distribution center, and then the within the personnel you've got the I'm trying to remember the name of the agency that comes through. It's the state personnel. We had that group, Representative Rosenbaum. You've been associated with them before. Have worked with them on some indirect and direct issues before, as they've dealt with employee relations, ERB, Employee Relations Board,
right.
Comes through DAS, that I've had the pleasure of working with those folks on the interim this past time on a small work group. But again, that's just a smattering of the half a dozen groups that they've got there. And then I think that there's a couple of others, a catch-all, an administrative catch-all that they also, and to convert those to general funds, which are in part general fund already, may give you some concern at the legal end. I would seek probably from counsel within the purview. It appears that the State Financial Administration is it section 291 at sequential error. If you wanted to have counsel and or staff look at that relative to DAS's financial administration, and it talks about the financial duties of the department at 291.011, and then sequentially there, financial duties of the department, delegation of fiscal functions is at 0.015, and then forward from there. But Mr. Chair, I think anything that would make the department run more efficiently. And you'd indicated that Interim Director Lori Warner had expressed some concern about diversion of those, or conversion of those funds over to become general funds. I'd have to say that I have a great deal of confidence in Lori, and if she sees it as a potential problem, I'd want to elicit from her the reason why she felt like that there was a potential problem versus an opportunity to better serve the department and the people of the state of Oregon.
So let me ask you this: Is this something that either a general government or the joint legislative audits committee ought to look further into during the interim? Any sense on that? Because I don't think we're, you know, I think that what we can do is raise the question at this point, but I don't think we can, you know, I'm not prepared for us to make a wholesale recommendation to leadership or to the budget committee that there be major changes made in that, but rather that it be further looked at. Is there enough of a concern there on the part of this committee that it's something that should be looked at more with a potential legislative package being presented in the 07 session?
Mr. Chair, one thing is probably unique about this session over the prior several sessions that you and Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Brown have been here, and that is this is probably the first session that we haven't made some fairly major and significant changes to what it is that we allocate out to DAS to do.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in the past, special advocacy commissions were in DAS and then out of DAS and over to the governor's office, back and forth. Other kinds of advocacy and special responsibilities that the I'm trying to think of the name of the benchmarks, the Oregon Progress Board.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Oregon Progress Board has been in DAS, has been out of DAS. We've made those changes back and forth. The Commission for Indian Services has been in the governor's office, has been in DAS. I don't know if it's ever resided fully in DAS, but it's been reviewed and examined in DAS. So I think this session may be unique in that we don't have a lot of changes to the functions and responsibilities of DAS as to the what it's assuming or divesting itself mm-hmm. of. Maybe this is the time when, in the interim, that you've got an interim director that could come forward and make an expression relative to the finances as they presently are situated within the Department of Administrative Services, so that we would have a better fix and a better feel for you know where they are going. But I want to express publicly my confidence in and support of Interim Director Lori Warner, and I think that if there were an opportunity to make some of these kinds of changes that she saw beneficial and mutually advantageous for the state to run more efficiently, I don't think we'd have to do an interim study. She would come forward with her ideas, and maybe that is a one meeting item for the interim work to bring Lori forward and say, Lori, now that you've had the control of the helm for this period of time, and recognizing that she's had a tremendous experience in state government opportunities and functions of state government and has a very sharp and brilliant mind, that maybe she would be a person that could tell you there's a change that needs to be made here, here, and here to make this, you know, to tighten up the way the ship runs and to bring you greater efficiencies. And that would be that, of course, could then be an opportunity for the potential of an interim filed bill on the part of the interim audits that would give us an opportunity to tighten that up.
So, Mr. Chair, maybe that's the way to word it, is sort of frame it in terms of working with the director of DAS to look at the subjective assessments and service charges and explore efficiencies, or I don't know, however you'd want to wordsmith it. But.
Okay. Thank you for your input on that. Another area that I think has raised some concerns, and that is the area of the Smart Buy program. And I think one of the, there were anticipated savings that were supposed to occur with this program, and you'll remember. And one of the things that we, that had been put out in the press, now whether this was actual, actual data that could be supported or not, or promises that were made by the vendor that that came in on this, I don't know. But the bottom line is that I think there were some anticipated savings, and I think that there was a public expectation that had been laid out there that were. I don't know if they were inflated or not, but I think that there, we need to, and we need to have a way of really quantifying what the real savings are. I'm not convinced, and I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm not convinced that DAS has demonstrated that they're in the procurement process that the real savings are there. And I think that. If this is something that really works well for the state and enables, through a centralized procurement and that sort of thing, enables us to, enables the state to save a lot of dollars in bureaucracy kinds of stuff, and, you know, pens and paper and, you know, that kind of stuff. If we can save a lot of money there, then those are dollars that can be redirected into the various, agency programs. And what I have a concern about is that, you know, there was this hope that we would, you know, now in testimony before the committee, I believe that the procurement folks said that they, you know, that they were hoping to get about, $10 to $20 million in savings, and they've attained that at about $18 million. The press that had gotten out there and some of the articles that we looked at, they were talking about up to a 20% savings. Well, we spend about, as a state, we spend about $500 million a year in that kind of stuff, generalized types of things. And if you're looking at a 20% savings, it's $100 million. That's a lot. There's a lot of difference between $100 million savings and an $18 million savings. So what I'm suggesting here is that there is that we put some kind of a recommendation in that addresses the smart buy. I don't want this to just be a way for a vendor to be making money off the state and not produce anything. I want to know what the deliverables are. I guess is what I'm getting at. Any thoughts on that from your perspective?
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess my question, and I asked it when we were having the hearings on Smart Buy, is, you know, if there is something that can be done that these vendors are doing, I would like to explore why we can't take that function, bring it in-house, and have the expertise within our own folks at the Department of Administrative Services to simply be able to get the kinds of deals that this vendor is able to go out there and you know, get in the marketplace, because it seems like we've got a large agency with a lot of smart people in it, and that they ought to be able to replicate whatever it is that we were paying the vendor for and bring it in house.
And that is one of the things that they were talking about, was that the vendor is going to be training the procurement people, I think, on it, if I remember correctly. Is that you guys remember?
Yeah, I think that. Okay, and that would be a follow-up to Representative Rosenbaum's comment, is that it was my understanding that our procurement personnel, there was actually, and there have been a procurement 101 over at Chemeketa that was available for those people that wanted to advance through the process, that were willing to take the time out of their schedule, and those that, that were in procurement that had a continuing education opportunity available to them, so that they were involved in that. It was my understanding that, that we were going to end up with a half a dozen well-trained procurement officers that, that could continue to do this for us ad infinitum following the time that the Smart Buy contract was completed and filled. I guess I'm surprised that there's that that of the quantity that we feel like may be left on the table here, because I felt like that they've done a pretty good job. But if you feel like that there's more, I'd like to know, you know, in the interim, perhaps that's something that could be explored. But again, I would have to defer to those folks. They're the certified smart folks that are making the certified smart buys.
Well, would a good recommendation be to for DAS to come forward, for the procurement people to come forward with a detailed report on what their projected savings really were and what the real savings are, and give us dates and when I say dates, I mean this is like, you know, the program was started in November of 2003. November of 2003, and then looking at, you know, so for example, going to November of 2004, November of 2005, and kind of looking at a year over year type of situation, but looking at what the projected savings were, and then what the real savings have been, and how they're actually showing what those savings are. Based on the vendor selection, and I don't mean the consulting vendor selection, but I mean on the vendor selection for where they're buying, you know, widgets and any other kind of supplies that they're buying, and what the bids had been or would have been or have been historically, and now under the Smart Buy program, bids coming in have been, so we can see what those real savings are. Does that make sense? Any other comments about that?
I'd want to know that we were getting our money's worth with regard to the procurement training, Mr. Chair, and that we are maintaining, because part of what we were supposed to do through the personnel and training division was to make certain that procurement training was an ongoing activity, and I think that's within the current mission statement and direction of the Department of Administrative Services. In other words, you can't just train one group of people and then drop it.
Right.
If you anticipate getting the full value out of that.
It has to be ongoing.
Out of the Smart Buy. Right. And not just ongoing, but enhancing. My vision for that would be that you'd have a group of trained people that would continue to train in such a fashion that they would train other people, and that you would have people eventually leaving the auspices of state government, going out and training other people how to smart buy within private industry and other governmental units of government, leaving the state's employee to show how successful this has been within this particular agency while they're training other people to take their places. So that we're giving our employees marketable skills in the marketplace. And it was my understanding that personnel had as a function the training of employees.
Right. Okay.
So that Smart Buy is an extension of that same mission in part.
Put something in about the procurement training and where that needs to go. Third area any other comments about that? Third area that I was somewhat somewhat concerned about, and that is the department's strategic plan. There really isn't a plan for the department. As far as I realize that they have their performance measures that they've been going through as well and going through the budgeting process. I don't know. I don't know how complete. I'm trying to think of the right word. I don't know how complete those the performance measures are with the department, and we didn't take a real close look at those this session either, and that's probably something that maybe should be looked at in the interim. Is that any comments or thoughts about that?
Mr. Chair, typically those are looked at in the Ways and Means process,
mm-hmm.
And it would maybe helpful to have someone from the general government side of the Ways and Means process to address that in part with the committee if you thought that is something that an interim audits ought to include as a part of a work plan. But I would be interested in hearing from someone either from the Senate side or the House side in a bicameral, bipartisan mm-hmm. fashion that what they've seen this particular session. Again, because of my admiration for Director Warner, I think that she's got a better handle on it than we may have had in times past, but I don't know that we really grilled her on it either.
No, I don't think we did. The one area that then leading into this is that I don't know that the department really has. Well, they don't. They flat out don't have any kind of a strategic plan or for how they're providing their services. I think part of it is reactionary based on what we do during legislative sessions. Part of it is, they've got other things that they're working on, so I don't think this has been something that's really become a focus. I would like to see us work with and maybe the, I don't know whether the general government interim committee or the joint legislative audits committee would be the place to do this, but to work with the department on developing a cohesive, understandable strategic plan, customer service plan that addresses some of the areas that I think were areas of concern in the survey that we had put out. We did a synopsis of the survey, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That's what I thought. Okay. Just wanting to make sure that my brain was working correctly. Okay. But that did seem to be an area that was of concern. Any thoughts about that suggestion that they, and whether we should would be a suggestion for the for an interim general government committee or joint legislative audits committee?
Having not served in the interim on anyone other than just some audits oversight, Mr. Chair, I defer to those who have greater experience in general government than do I.
I have zero.
Yeah, I haven't served on either one either.
Well, we were on operations and oversight, and that potentially would have been a good place to do that. Would be to, in the interim, to really delve into what their plan is and helping them develop it. I don't think it's necessarily fair to say to the agency, go out, develop this strategic plan, and by the way, when you come back, we'll tell you whether we like it or not.
Huh.
I don't think that's fair to them. But I'm not interested in just creating make work for them. But I think that it you know, if there's an understandable plan so that, and of course it can, it is always subject to change, but any agency's plan is always subject to change based on what we do here every 2 years. And I would like to see the department be able to really articulate what that plan is in a very understandable fashion, so when somebody says, well, what does the Department of Administrative Services really do, it can, you know, it's something that in about a minute and a half spiel they could explain what the department does and what their plan is for moving towards for the future.
Sounds like a work plan.
Okay. Just a second, I gotta write a note. I think another thing that can be real helpful to us is understanding what needs to be enterprise-wide and what doesn't need to be enterprise-wide. You know, as we've learned, for example, from IRMD, the data center kinds of services and support, and some of the configurations with regards to applications and, you know, servers and, you know, all of that kind of stuff really needs to be enterprise wide. It needs to be, you know, everybody sort of needs to adhere to the same rules. But that's a good example, I think. And having the agency then give us some help on understanding what other services there are that really are enterprise wide, that having it centrally located is really going to probably perform best. And I know that there's always this discussion in government about centralized government versus decentralized government, and I know that that's always a And whether everybody adheres to the same rules or not is always a question. I know, for example, in DHS with Child Protective Services, you know, each branch office has sort of been able to, I don't want to say make up their own rules, but they've been able to administer things a little bit differently, and that's ended up creating some real conflicts. Okay, so we'll make some kind of a recommendation on that. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, one item that we really didn't get into in any depth that I know has been an item which has surfaced in other legislative assemblies has been the operation of the state motor pool. And while I'm not advocating that another study be performed on the state motor pool, that would certainly under a new director may give us yet another fresh opportunity to take a look at the state motor pool as operated by DAS and the other state motor pools as operated by various different agencies of the state government and various functions. If we could find some efficiencies, that would give us a greater, in the operation of these motor pools, that would give us greater potential to benefit the actual services that we should be providing, whether they be state trooper services or whether they be Department of Human Services for delivery of the needs to those people that they have an assignment to. So
I do know that one of the things that sort of came up in, I don't know that there was any testimony on this, but, you know, hallway types of conversations was the issue that of for example, as an agency head, it's cheaper for me to go to, you know, Enterprise,
Avis,
Rent-A-Car, or Avis, or Hertz, or one of the other companies, than it is to go to DAS. Mm-hmm. And at that, of course...
Well, we do have contracts with those other companies.
Right.
We're presently, and that has been an expansion of the scope of the motor vehicle pool over the past numbers of years as a result of inquiries as to when it is cheaper. And I would expect that those agencies would use the vans or the vehicles from Enterprise or one of the other contractors when it's cheaper to do that. I would expect that, would be the case.
And it's as long as an agency has the option of doing of going one place or the other, but that creates part of the conflict is that if they have to go to DAS to get vehicles, then, you know, with the corner on the market, can DAS charge whatever they want? Well, I argue that they can't, because we're going to put a limitation on them.
Well, and they can't because when it is cheaper to walk to the other side of the lot where you have those agencies, it isn't like they're out of town. Those
right.
folks deliver from the same lot. That if they have equipment that's cheaper, faster, quicker, and more available, that agencies can. And I think that's healthy. That's a healthy relationship.
I would agree. I would agree.
But I don't know that we received a full report on it, Mr. Chair. And because that has been an item that's bubbled to the surface about every other session. It did not really, that I recall, really get much scrutiny in this particular session. And while I do not condone, nor would I encourage yet another study, I think that maybe it's time for us to dust off the studies that we've had in the past and ask Director Warner and or others, are these working? Is the system as it's designed working the way that it's supposed to? And again, what efficiencies do you see as a potential for us?
And Mr. Chair, the committee staff has pulled up the general provisions of the assessments, and those are found at 283.076, and it does talk about a fund separate and distinct from a general fund that the Department of Administrative Services is to maintain, and also to transfer over to the Capital Projects Fund anything that's collected for depreciation. And it would be, I think it would be appropriate to just maybe for the interim audit committee, I don't know who wants to take authority over that, but perhaps for the interim audit committee to examine the highs and lows of those funds during the year, make sure that they have enough, to accomplish their mission, and that the amounts that are supposed to be transferred to the Capital Projects Funds Reserve are being transferred timely, and that interest is being accumulated to help with the future needs of those projects, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know that we need to discuss anything on rents and leases since we addressed that with 2236. I'm not sure that that's actually finished yet from the standpoint of, I mean, even once that bill gets passed and is signed by the governor, assuming that it is passed and signed by the governor. But I don't... You know, I don't know that that's not really finished. I think it's something that's kind of ongoing, is to continue looking at those and making sure that the first of all, that the bill works the way it's supposed to, that agencies are not relying on deferred maintenance, but rather that they are that maintenance is ongoing, both interiors as well as the exteriors and grounds of the various buildings. The biggest thing, I think, is competitiveness of DAS and other agencies that do rent to other agencies. with the private market. Because if an agency can go to the private market and get a better price, then it's obvious than that. Might not bode well for for state government, but and in the private sector, you know, the people have to maintain their buildings. If they don't, then obviously they don't keep tenants. Any other thoughts on either rents and leases or just in general things that you feel we ought to include?
Mr. Chairman, the Capital Planning Commission has now gone away, and DAS has a capital structures and physical facilities division. I'm in that process. I don't know that there was a thorough review of the functions, and the capital planning has been without funding for some time now, but that physical facilities, you want to make sure that the responsibility for physical facility planning had sufficient, and I realize that in part the Capital Planning Commission, part of the work that those folks did was being accomplished by city folks and county folks that were also at the table, but much of what they were originally planning was taken over by land use planning in that process too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether physical facilities is a is something that we need to have any oversight following the bill that passed on the House floor to totally do away with the Capital Planning Commission. I wouldn't want to leave a void there.
Okay.
In the process.
I believe the bill passed it off to
the physical facilities.
The work of the Capital Planning Commission passed it off to DAS.
Yeah, to the physical facilities group there. And I just would like to make certain that in that process, as Capital Planning Commission went away, that there was nothing left. And I realized that the Capital Planning Commission had a long-term mission of working with the city and the county within the guidelines of what became land use planning and the overall planning in the state. But just make certain that we still address the issues that the people at the table that dealt with the Capital Planning Commission felt were still issues that were at the table. That is, how the mall was expanded, how the state government mm-hmm. continued to build wherever they would build. So, mm-hmm. I'm anxious about any void that might be left if we assume that does become law.
Okay.
Again, because of the lack of funding for the last couple of sessions, I had understood that folks continued to meet and work collaboratively and cooperatively, and I think that's laudable and to be commended. My concern is that if the agency loses its place at the table, that whatever responsibilities that it was charged with, that the commission had been charged with, the physical facilities is prepared to. And I think from three sessions ago, when this question came up, why do we have a Capital Planning Commission and a Physical Facilities Planning Commission within DAS? Because one has to work with the other, and then I think once we began to go down that road, again, you're looking for the maximum efficiencies within these so that we can continue to do the things that we're really charged with in state government, and that is to deliver the services to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just would again reiterate that I think that at least a brief examination or follow-up with the physical facilities folks to make certain that any of the kinds of issues that were previously charged from one agency are picked up by the other.
Okay. comments?
Okay.
Well, based on this little discussion, I'll have a draft ready for, and it's pretty much going to be a final draft because I think Thursday's it. I don't know that other than meeting at the call of the chair, I don't think we will be having any further meetings after Thursday. So do plan on that. It shouldn't hopefully it won't take very long. And if we can all come in close to on time, then I think we can get done earlier. And thank you very much for your attention today. I appreciate it. With that, I'm going to close the discussion. We will adjourn the meeting.